morning.
Good morning.
And welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, The Sound of Freedom. Our scripture lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 through 46. And it seems a couple of guys were out on a boat for a little bit of fishing out in the ocean when suddenly the boat broke down and began to drift aimlessly. And after a day or so, the boat finally washed up on a deserted island. And when they got off the boat, the three guys on the boat took to the island and began to seek out shelter. And as they sat there, two of the guys raced around trying to find stuff and were all worried and wringing their hands, while a third one just sat underneath the tree, looking at the ocean, smiling, not really saying much. And finally, after all of it, they run over to him. They said, you know, we're on a deserted island. Nobody knows we're here. Aren't you worried about it? He said, nope. They said, well, why not? He goes, well, in my job, I make $100,000 a month. And they said, well, what's that got to do with anything, man? You're stranded on a desert island. He said, well, I go to church. They said, that still don't have nothing to do with anything. He said, you don't understand. He said, I make $100,000 a month, and I tithe to my church faithfully. My pastor will come find me. Before we start, it is often said that pastors and preachers and those in pulpits on Sunday morning are not supposed to do a certain set of things. You're not supposed to do sentimental sermons. I'll break that rule. You're not supposed to talk about certain things in the pulpit on Sunday morning, and you should always be a little bit gentle when you talk about the wages of sin. Break that rule. You're not supposed to be patriotic. You're supposed to just stand there and not put things forth that promote the flag in this country. Oh, I can promise you, that rule is widely broken. I was given this calendar years and years ago by the late Bob Myers and his wife Pat, called The Glory of America. It's 365 days of different things from this country and the providence of God and the interaction of Jesus Christ and the founding fathers. And every Sunday morning when I come in, I turn it to whatever day it is, and I read it to see if it has any weight or bearing on the service. And it's neat because I've never, in the 10 years I've had this calendar, I don't think I've read the whole thing all the way through. See, I only get to read it once a week, so I figure it's good for another 30 years or until you all kick me out of here, whichever comes first. But today, this one caught me. Once in a while they do, but this one. It says, on June 30th, today, on this day in 1788, a letter from George Washington was on its way to Benjamin Lincoln after the ratification of the Constitution. And George Washington wrote these words, and I encourage you, listen carefully. No country upon earth ever had it more in its power to attain these blessings. Much to be regretted indeed would it be were we to neglect the means and depart from the road which Providence has pointed us to so plainly. I cannot believe it will ever come to pass. The great governor of the universe has led us too long and too far to forsake us in the midst of it. We may, now and then, get bewildered, but I hope and trust that there is good sense and virtue enough left to recover the right path. Wow. In light of today's world sometimes, we ask that God lead this country back to the right. Matthew chapter 27, 45 through 56. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land, And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, and he put it on a stick, and he offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." But when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance, and they had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in prayer. Will you please join me? Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings that we receive from these words. These are not mine. These are your words, Father, that have been put together for us to hear, learn, accept, and grow from. As we dwell in these few moments together, let us be strengthened for the walk we need to take this week to come. And let us be ever mindful of the blessings you gave us and be ready to speak and put forth the word of Jesus Christ to all of those around us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. I have a desire. Now, let me rephrase that. I have many desires, and this will rank in the list of desires. I want a flagpole at my house. Now, I don't want just any flagpole, mind you, because most of the flagpoles you can go to the store and buy are 10 feet tall or 15 feet tall. That's not good enough for Paul Leatherman III. No, sir, I want a 100-foot flagpole up there on that hill. I want a 100-foot flagpole. I want that thing to stick up there so I can hang flags on it. Always with the American flag on top. Because I love, 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 love seeing an American flag hung out, flapping, doing what it's supposed to do. You know, they make these truck hitches now. And I came up with this idea 20 years ago, and I should have patented, but I didn't. But now they come up with these truck hitches that got poles on them where you can drive down the road with a flag flying off the back of your truck. And it looks really cool. And it's not something that I could have. Because knowing my dumb luck, something would happen and the flag would bend over, or the truck, the flag I'd have to fly on the back would be so big it would cause the truck to wave all around. It's a whole thing. So I don't have one. But I got American flags on it. But I'm a fan of it. Down in Frederick, there is a car dealership that used to have, now maybe they still do, I haven't really took notice anywhere else, but down in Frederick is a car dealership that has a gigantic flag flying over their dealership. And it's humongous. And that's a word. You can look it up, English teachers. Isn't it a word? It's
humongous.
It's huge. Humongous is not? Well, call Webster and get it put in there. And when that thing, when the wind catches it, because it's so high in the air, when the wind catches it just right, that thing just furls and flaps and straightens itself out. And I love to go park underneath of it and listen to it. Yeah, I know. Everybody's looking at me like, you know, just when I thought you couldn't get any weirder, Paul, you take it to a new level. Well, let me just explain to you why. And let me just know, next Sunday I'm going to ask how many people do the same thing. You park underneath that thing and listen to it, and it cracks and it whips and it ruffles. And when you're looking at it and you see the stars and stripes blazoned against that sky and they're doing their thing, You become full of America. You become remembering of all those who have served this country and paid the price for that flag to fly. And I love it. And that's why I think I ought to have a flag that's a flagpole 100 foot tall in my yard so I can fly an American flag and a Maryland flag and a J.I. Case flag and a John Deere flag and a couple other flags all the way down. I'll have a Ford flag up there somewhere. But I love it. And I have now found a new destination that Wendy and I will be going to. And if you could see this side of her, she's probably, and I don't even have to look at her, she's already rolling her eyes. Well, let me look. Yep, there they go. You see, to me, there are three places in this country that I will see before I turn 60. Number one, the Henry Ford Museum. I don't care if I have to go there by myself. One day, I'm just going to get in the truck and drive off, and I'm going to go see where all of mechanized life started at the Henry Ford Museum. Number two, I want to go stand on that bridge at the Grand Canyon, the skywalk, the one that's a mile up in the air with the glass floor when you're standing on it, and you look down, and all you see down is for a mile. Doesn't that sound exciting? There's a lot of people going, "What is wrong with you?" And number three on my list is to go to Minnesota to see the world's biggest ball of twine. Well, that's a destination. They've got, now look here, now you listen to me. They've got a ball of twine out in Minnesota that is so big, and you take twine with you, right? And when you get there, you get to put your own piece on it, and you write your name in the book. And I'm going to do that. And the ball of twine sits on a platform, and it's got a roof over top of it, and it's got music that plays. And when you, well, I'm going. My wife has said, "We ain't driving to no Minnesota to see no ball of twine, let me just tell you." What the problem is, she falls asleep when we're driving. She's going to wake up in front of the ball of twine. And now, number four, in November of 2015, Acuity Assurance began flying a 140-foot by 70-foot flag at their main headquarters in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. The new flag of Acuity Assurance is 10,000 square feet, features stripes that are over 5 feet high and stars that are 3 feet across, weighing 400 pounds. The nylon flag requires 72 cubic feet of storage space when not being flown. Today, it is the largest flying flag, American free flying flag in the world. It started out in 2005, and they couldn't build the pole big enough to hold on to it. They tried different concrete base structures, and they finally came up with the one that works. It is visible from 14 miles away. 14 miles away. And it's 400 feet in the air. They say that if you get there at the right time, that it has a powered actuator to raise and lower the flag because people couldn't do it. It would just kill you trying to do it. And it raises it 80 feet per minute. And if you get there at the right time, when they're raising that flag, that thing hits the top of the pole right as soon as the Star Spangled Banner ends. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir! The Leathermans are going to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Ready to go, honey? Now, that's not a very definitive yes. She said, "You can go." You see that? That's her, "You can go." That doesn't mean she'll be with me. And once again, let me remind you, she falls asleep in the truck a lot. Hard to tell where she'll wake up this time. But I can only imagine what it's like to hear that flag, especially out there on that flat ground in Wisconsin, when the wind catches a hold of it. Years and years ago, and honestly, I don't know if they still do it, you could go down to the Smithsonian and you could see Old Glory. And as a little boy, 10, 11 years old, when we would go down on our annual trip to the Smithsonian, I would go to that exhibit. Because if you've never been there, it's a gigantic dark room. By show of hands, has anybody ever seen Old Glory down at the Smithsonian before? When was the last time you saw it? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? 30 years ago? On up there? 100 years ago? Just checking. I don't know. So you know it's a darkened room with a big image of the flag. And you walk in and it's dark and there's the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all this other stuff in this darkened room and you can't take pictures. And you go in there and you look at it. And the first time I ever was in there, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old, I was standing in there looking around like, okay, this is neat. When suddenly you heard the thump followed by the repeating snare drum and the Star Spangled Banner fired up. And when it did, everybody turned and faced that image. And as that image fell down, there was Old Glory, the flag that flew over that harbor. Man, I tell you, that shook me right to my very core. And every year after that, I went there. Now, I don't know if they still do it. I haven't been able to get there in years and years. And I know they restored parts of that flag. But if you've ever seen it, after the image falls, they never finished restoring the flag. They simply painted on the wall what the rest of it should have looked like. And Old Glory, in her war-torn effort, is proudly displayed. The sound of freedom, when you stand near that, reminds you of what we have in this country. It's awe-inspiring. When you roll backwards and you think, you get lost in these words, freedom. When in the course of human events, becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On this day coming up, we look toward all that that implies. Anybody who's been around me for any period of time knows that my favorite president in the whole history of mankind is John Adams, second president of the United States. This book written by David McCullough is the biography of John Adams, and I highly encourage you to read it. And if you would like to borrow my copy of it, you may. You just have to leave your name, number, the keys to your house, driver's license, and a few other things. And you'll get all that back when you're done and you return the book. But when David was writing about John Adams, who, as you know, is the true author of the Declaration of Independence, he's the one that inspired it. He's the one that called for it. He's the one that encouraged Thomas Jefferson to write it. He said these words when he was writing, The object is great which we have in view, and we must expect a great expanse of blood to obtain it. But we should always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of equal importance to mankind. On this side of Jerusalem, John Adams was a great and loving Christian. And he took that to mean what it was supposed to. We think about it as it comes forth. We think everybody thinks the same thing. July 4th, that's the day. Well, the truth of the matter is it's not. For those of you who have read your history, John, that's right, you're playing along. Everybody give John a big round of applause. Truthfully, it is the 2nd of July when they actually decided to go forth with it. And what you don't know is that this state and New York were the last two holdouts. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And it took an army of people going down to the Annapolis Convention, Sam Chase leading them, to tell them, knock it off. What we're doing is right. And finally, Maryland came around. And of the 13 colonies, 12 ratified, one abstained, so as to show solidarity, unity. On that day, I want to read you another excerpt from the book so that you are reminded to understand what you're learning. Though the record of all that happened the following day, Tuesday, July 2nd, is regrettably sparse, it appears that the doors to Congress were closed at 9 o'clock. Caesar Rodney came tearing in, a tall, sprite man, weird and angular looking, to make sure that it was his place to sit down in the Pennsylvania delegation so that the seat would be filled. And as they began to open up to speak for it, for one voice, suddenly the sky outside split open and a thunderstorm rocked it and rain threatened it. And finally, New York continued to abstain, but all the rest of the states became together in agreement on July 2nd that we should become independent. He wrote these words to his wife Abigail. John Adams said, "This second day of July, 1776, will be one of the most memorable epochs in American history. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary of the festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. 2nd of July. But in order to make it complete, on July 4th at 10 a.m. or sorry, at 6 a.m. at 10 a.m. in the morning, the President of the Congress and the Congress leaders signed it into law. Immediately it was taken out of there, and 200 copies by John Dunlap just down the street there in Philadelphia printed it, and they were sent out for broadside. And that meant that they were to be posted so that people could read it. And suddenly it became real that on July 4th, the Congress, the President of the Congress, had signed it. It wouldn't be until August 2nd that the rest of them signed it. But now it was real. He wrote that in the excessive heat, that it was bad that day. Suddenly it turned cool and comfortable. And on July 2nd, just as it had been before, now on July 4th, they sat there and they waited. And when they were done, the sky split open and carried on for about an hour. It was said that as the people signed it, as people realized, then the celebration started. And it went around the country little by little, until the first week and a half of July, following the signing of the Declaration of Independence, listened and echoed the sound of freedom. The sound of freedom! What is the sound of freedom? 56 men signed that declaration, and in doing so, they convicted themselves to die. They now became part of high treason. They were going to be hunted down and killed for going against this country. Five of them were captured by the British and tortured till they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. Some lost sons in the Revolutionary Army. Others had sons that were captured and killed. 9 of the 56 fought and died and suffered wounds from the hardship of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships sunk by the British Navy and died in a cave in poverty. One of my favorite is Thomas Nelson, who knew what the sound of freedom was. Thomas Nelson at Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over his house as a headquarters. And he sat high up on an embankment with the American militia artillery looking down there. And General Washington turned to him. I can see this scene. General Washington turned to him and said, Kirk, said Thomas, how do you want us to do this? And the history records that Thomas simply clasped his hands behind his back, looked down at the beauty and love that was his farm, turned away and said to General Washington, level it. And the sound of freedom was the American guns running that British general out so that we would win our independence. Dorothy Sayers said, the divine scheme of things as Christianity understands it is at once extremely elastic and extremely rigid. It is elastic in that it includes a large measure of liberty for the creature. It is rigid in that it includes the proviso that however created beings choose to behave, they must accept the responsibility for their own actions and endure the consequences. That's freedom. But the sound of freedom comes from our Jesus Christ when he uttered those words on that cross. We can be as free as we want. We can walk around with flags hanging off of 5,000 foot flag poles, and you can take flags that are as big as five of these churches and hang them off a bridge over the Snake River to show your patriotism. You can do anything you want and be proud to be an American. But until you know the sound of freedom, which was the death of Jesus Christ, you are not free. But his asking his own father, you go back to that scripture with me for a minute, where he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the sound of freedom. Jesus passed. With his death came the ultimate payment and the ultimate release from all that ensnared us. When we think about that, when we think about what the sound of freedom is a single man dying to save the sins of humanity. Yes, the sound of our freedom is the sound of a flag flapping in the breeze, reminding us of all of those who went up and stood underneath of it to protect this country. But furthermore, we have this country because we were given it by divine purpose. We were given it by divine purpose because Jesus Christ died to save us. And when we first got here, we were determined to continue following him. The sound of freedom is the sound of nails going in a cross, of pain, of a crying out. But the sound of freedom is, come here to me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I haven't done this in a while. I probably won't get through it. Here's something you may not know. John, you had better know this. In his book, what you don't know is 50 years to the day, the two men behind our Declaration of Independence, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, died hours apart July 4th, 50 years later. From his book, said the old gentleman was drawing to his end, meaning John Adams. Dr. Holbrook was there at the end and declared to us that he should not live through the day. Adams lay in bed with his eyes closed, breathing. Thomas sent an urgent letter off to John Quincy to say their father was sinking rapidly. As efforts were made to give Adams more comfort, by changing his position, he awakened. Told that it was the 4th, he answered very clearly, this is a great day. Today is a great day. At Monticello, Thomas Jefferson had been unconscious since the night of July 2nd, and his daughter Martha and physician Robley Duglinson were keeping watch. At 7 o'clock the evening of July 3rd, Jefferson awakened and uttered the declaration, "This is the fourth." Told that it soon would be, he fell asleep again. 2.5 hours later, he woke up. When offered a dose of laudanum, he refused, saying, "No, doctor, nothing more." Sometime near 4 in the morning, July 4th, Jefferson spoke his last words, calling his servants in a clear, strong voice, saying, "It is time." Jefferson died at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon on July 4th as bells in Charlottesville began to ring out the sound of freedom celebration. At Quincy, Massachusetts, the roar of the cannon grew louder as the hours passed, and in mid-afternoon a thunderstorm struck. The artillery of heaven, as it would be said. Adams lay peacefully, clear by all signs. He stirred and whispered clearly enough to understood, "Thomas Jefferson survives." Somewhat later, struggling for breath, he called out to his granddaughter, "Help me," and then lapsed into a final silence. And at 6:20, John Adams had passed. At that moment, all that were there remembered and wrote down. There was a final clap of thunder that shook the house. The rain immediately stopped, and the sun broke through dark, low-hanging clouds with an uncommon splendor at his exit. By nightfall, the whole town knew. The sound of freedom. The sound of freedom remains, brothers and sisters. Jesus calling us, calling to those who are lost, calling to everyone who will listen. "I have gone on for you that you may come home to me, and I will give you freedom, peace, and comfort evermore." As we proceed to this week coming, and we stand for a few moments on that day and we hear that flag flapping, let us be reminded what the sound of freedom is and always will be, now and forevermore. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us so much. We thank you, Father, that you have loved us enough to send your only Son to save us, that you have loved us enough to give us this country, that you have loved us enough to give us freedom. Father, let us go on toward those around us and speak openly of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Father, in all things. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, "My Country, 'Tis of Thee." How appropriate. As we sing this last hymn, if you have that unspoken request and need it, the bench is open. If you do not know Jesus Christ, today is your day. And I invite you to come forward or to reach out to find him. May God bless each and every one of you. May God bless the United States of America. May God walk with each and every one.